This is Easy Does It Barbecue with your host, Dan McDonald, owner of Colorado Barbecue Outfitters. If you're ready to dig into some serious talk about all things barbecue, from the moo to the oink, grab a cold one and let's get down to business. Now, here's Dan McDonald.
Hey, everybody. You're listening to the Easy Does It Barbecue Radio Show. We call it Easy Does It Barbecue because I'm going to tell you the easiest way to do it. My name is Dan McDonald. I'm the owner and operator of Colorado Barbecue Outfitters right here in Colorado Springs. Our website is 719bbq.com. Come visit us at the store and look us up online. Today's show for the July 4th weekend, we have a special guest on. Her name is Teresa Farney, and she is the food editor of the Gazette right here in Colorado Springs. She has a column in the Go Entertainment section. Teresa, thank you for coming on the show.
You're welcome. So happy to be here, Dan. I've known you a long time. I always enjoy going to your store and picking up new gadgets. But as far as grilling is concerned, you are stocked with spices and kinds of wonderful stuff.
Thank you. Teresa and I met when I had opened the store back in 2012, and I can't remember the exact month, but I was in the store, and I had a small location at the time, and this very elegantly dressed lady came into the store, which quite frankly is not normally my clientele, but and looked around the store, and I thought, well, okay, you know, we'll see what she's interested in. And she introduced herself, and it was of course Teresa, and she explained what she did and invited me on her at that time on her radio show called Table Talk. And I was able to attend that for a couple different years.
Thank you very much.
So I thought, how apropos in bringing Teresa on my show and turning the tables a little bit. So as Teresa said, she's been in the store many times. I'm going to call it collaborated, if that's okay,
yes,
on some
absolutely.
Of the articles that you've written
absolutely.
Over the years.
Absolutely. Yeah. You barbecued a turkey, smoked a fabulous turkey one year for our Thanksgiving story. I can't tell you how many times you've done things on barbecue kickoff Memorial Day, and you brought me a whole slew of things, which are little new things to try out for cooking. In particular, I remember the salt block, which was, and still, you know, that's just catching on. That and the cedar planks that you can use to, particularly with fish.
Yep.
Yeah, and let's see, Father's Day, I just did a story about grilling veggies. I called it Veg Out, and not like lay around on the couch and play video games all afternoon. Although, you know what? Hey,
that's
nice okay. But it had to do with eating more vegetables. And Stephen, you probably have his cookbook. Stephen Reichland has just done new cookbook about vegetables, and oh my word, those recipes are amazing. And he does all kinds of interesting things, including that cedar plank. He has several, like an eggplant parm. Can you imagine, have you ever thought about doing an eggplant parm on a grill?
Believe it or not, I've thought about doing everything.
I imagine. Excuse me. You could write
your
own book.
You'd be shocked the things I put on a grill or smoker.
No, maybe not. But hey, I've got one on you. One of the things I'm dying to try out, I read a book. It's a memoir by Fanny Singer. And Fanny Singer is now just escape me. I'll think of it here in a minute. Famous chef Alice Waters. It's her daughter, and she did this memoir about her mother. And one of the things that her mother does is she loves to build a wood-burning fire and cook with a live fire, which is an exciting thing to do any old time, right? But she, one of her favorite things to do for guests, this is Alice, is to use what she calls an egg spoon. And it's a very long-handled spoon that with kind of like a little disc shape on it, and you can put it down near the fire, and she puts olive oil. It has a little bit of a cup, so it holds some oil, and then she puts an egg in it and poaches it perfectly in this fire. So Steve Reichland, of course, has one of these spoons that he's cooking in that live fire just like that. I was like, okay, now I'm really going to go after and find me one of those. And
yeah,
somebody you might be interested in knowing, I just met, his name is David. Can't remember his last name, but I will let you know for whenever I get off and I have my notes and stuff in front of me. But he is a cast iron forger, and he can make all kinds of custom things.
Oh, that's neat.
In particular, like different pots that you might want to use on a grill.
Yeah.
And I've got him lined up, but we talked about, he'd read this Alice Waters memoir, and so he knew about the egg spoon. I reminded him about Steve Reichlin's book, too. And he said, yeah, I saw that. I'm thinking about making one. I said, well, I'll buy it if you make it.
It's so a small world, yeah. I actually sell Steve Reichlin's products.
Of course.
And I sell some of his. He has his own line of Project Smoke spices and sauces and that. And I love cast iron cooking.
That's one of the best ways to cook a steak, particularly if you really splurge, as I did once. Because you know what? I have to try these things out, right? That's my justification to my husband. What did you do? You spent how much on this? So I bought it's at Costco, so it wasn't as expensive, but it was an absolutely signature Japanese Kobe standing boneless rib roast. So we got it, and it was a 12-pound roast. I had it sliced into thin steaks, and then I went to a butcher locally, and he cryovac'd each one of them individually for me. So we didn't have to race and eat this. How would you ever cook an entire Kobe 12-pound rib roast? I mean, this stuff is so rich. First of all, it's like eating butter. It's foie gras. But anyway, that is the way to cook those little steaks, is to get the cast iron skillet screaming hot. You see the smoke, and you slap it on there, and it's like 2 minutes on each side, and it sears like caramely crispy. Oh, so good. But you can't.
To my listeners, we've talked about, and I know you know this, I love sous vide cooking.
Yes.
I have a sous vide cooker, and what I'll do is I'll put my steak in the morning and go to the store and just let it go all day. Set it about 115, 120.
Uh-huh. Right.
And then when I get home, I get a chimney starter, and I've talked about those in the past.
Yep.
Get my charcoal red hot, put my cast iron pan right on top of the chimney starter, let it get, like you said, raging hot, and then do what they call a reverse sear after.
Right,
one of the best steaks you'll ever make at home.
Yeah. Well, now, see, I've always done mine in the house, and now you've got me inspired. As you know, my husband made a very big splurge at the Aspen Food and Wine a few years ago and bought what's the name of that grill? It looks like a little robot.
The Everdoer?
Yes.
Yes, yes. Yeah. In fact, what Teresa's referring to is the Everdoer 4K. In fact, she was the inspiration for me bringing that line into the store. And I have those products in the store. This is what we're talking about, folks, it's sort of a complement to the Kamado grills, if you will. Charcoal, but it's decked out. It auto-lights. It auto-tracks the temp. It has a light inside. It does. You're right. A cooking robot. It's a good term for it.
But it's a Rolls Royce of grills.
It is.
And the thing I love about it is the charcoal. So I think the next time we do one of these Kobe steaks, I'm going to have him heat that skillet up in there so we can get some of that charcoal smoke infused in the meat. I think, I think that'd be delicious.
Yeah. It's really good. Mm. So, Teresa, I've always referred to you affectionately as the foodie queen of the front range.
Whoa, I like that title.
Tell us a little bit, because I know on your radio show it was usually you interviewing other people, asking them questions.
Right.
Tell us a little bit about how did you become a foodie, if you will. Is that appropriate term to use these days?
Oh, definitely.
A foodie?
Yeah.
How did you become a fan of food?
Of eating? Who doesn't like to eat?
Yeah, we're all a fan of eating, but preparation and just everything that you know about it.
I grew up in West Texas, and we had a lot of migrant workers that would come in and work the cotton industry, and some of those, they had a very limited income, and I always kind of felt like I was very interested in nutrition, and so that as I went through, continued to grow and learn about some of the deficiencies that some races, some people can have, I majored in home economics, but with an emphasis in food. And so that's how I got interested in, I've always loved to cook. I was a latchkey key before it was something thought of. My mother worked, and she would call, once we got a phone, she would call me and tell me what to fix for dinner, and she would, start the water boiling, or cut the tomato up, or, get the pan on, don't get it too hot.
Oh, that's great.
And so then I was cooking for my older brothers and myself and mother. And so, anyway, that's how I got into cooking. And she always had a lot of home and garden magazines that I loved, and I wasn't afraid to dive in and try some experiments out. And fortunately, she didn't have to watch what a mess I made. But so I just kind of got my toes into the water, so to speak, that way. And then I went to college and majored in home economics education, again with an emphasis on nutrition. At one point in time, I thought, I want to be in the Peace Corps and go over and, you know, learn other cultures, foods, and then great also experience. Maybe bring some other nutrition advice along with it. But then I taught high school at Air Academy High School, biology and home economics, and I taught until my daughter was in high school. And that was too much to have mother on the faculty and a teenage, you know, daughter was a little mischievous. So anyway, that's whenever I had started writing a column for The Sun. And they encouraged me. The first story I wrote, coincidentally, was how to prepare Thanksgiving dressing for the turkey three different ways. And I took it in, and lo and behold, they paid me for it. They paid me $10. I have never been so excited in all my life. I had a byline, and they paid me.
That's great. That's how it started.
It evolved into I'd do a column, and they would say, well, you know what? This is really good enough here. We would like to feature this as our cover story for food. Do you mind if a photographer comes and takes pictures of the food? So, of course not. That was fun. And so, anyway, it just morphed into eventually becoming the food editor at The Sun until we were bought out by the Gazette. And that was our enemy. Then we moved away for 10 years, and I did another food-related career for 10 years. Then we came back, and a friend of mine in Washington, D.C. contacted me and said, you know what, I hear that the Gazette is looking for a food editor. Didn't you used to do that? And so I called Mark Rice, who is a photographer at the time. He was the head of the department at the Gazette, photography department, and asked him about that. And he said, well, you know, I'll check into it. He put a good word in for me. And the next thing I know, 6 or 8 months later, I'm the food editor at the Gazette. Have been there for more than 20 years. I've lost track. But I love it. And I've kind of been blessed to have this opportunity to work at home, because they don't have to say how old I am. They would say, honey, I think it's time you think about going home, taking a nap, and resting up a little bit to get ready for the retirement world. But fortunately, they have not. That has never been mentioned until now.
So you've been. I've heard you tell me over the years that you've been fortunate enough to travel to different countries, try different.
Yeah.
Tell us some of the places that you've been. What you know? Have you been to every continent?
No,
That you have not been to.
Definitely. And there's we have a very long bucket list. We've been trying, for instance, to get to Spain for a food and wine focused trip. And it, because of the pandemic, it got canceled 2 years ago, and now we've decided to cancel it again because it's a little iffy whether they're going to open up. We have a fabulous trip planned, but there's many memorable ones, but our trip to Peru was astounding. We had a one-on-one guide that took us through some vineyards in near Lima. Then we went, of course, to, I never say it right, Machu Picchu.
Machu Picchu. Machu Picchu,
And the thing that was so interesting there, of course, their deal is ceviche. And I had no idea there were so many kinds of what they call the tiger milk. And the tiger milk is a style of sauce that poaches the fish. But every one of them were delicious, beautifully plated, and the fruits and vegetables. I got very excited about maybe doing another trip to Peru, but going to where the Amazon, you know, and a rainforest riverboat trip. Yeah. My husband is a retired military guy, and he had a stint in Korea. And I was lucky to get to go over there for about 3 months and live with him in his quarters. And I traveled around and found people that would take me to different restaurants and locations. And you talk about really good grilled food. Vietnam is another. We went back 3 years ago to Vietnam and Cambodia. And oh my gosh, just every street doorstep, there's somebody sitting out there with there's a name for these little flat grills that they use. It's kind of like what you see in Mexico, but Kamals, but they have a different name for it.
Yeah.
But the charcoal is going strong. Yeah. Oh my goodness, the foods they prepare and the flavors. Incredible.
Yeah, a lot of the charcoal that I've run into it comes from Asia.
Mm-hmm.
It is. Yeah. South America is another big one that a lot of the charcoal is coming out of. So, that's great. So, well, let's talk a little bit about what do you do outdoor cooking yourself?
That's my husband's world. I have done it. I was fortunate. I got to go to Steve Reichlin's barbecue university
at the Broadmoor.
Yeah, yes. And I got to, you know, a couple of times I've sat in on classes that he's had, and I did a whole stint one time, which was amazing. And yeah, I learned a lot. The thing about Steve Reichlin, and I think you probably would agree with this, he is so creative. I when I was interviewing for this vegetable Bible, as he calls it, I asked him, how do you come up with these ideas? And he said, you know, you might be surprised, but I actually, when I'm asleep, I'm dreaming about food. And I keep a tablet, and I wake up and write down ideas the minute I get it. So, but all of his recipes are so well tested, they just turned out excellently.
Yeah.
You know, another really a local cook that is quite a good grill master and a chili roaster, too, is David Cook. They have Gather Food Studio, and now it's called, and no competition here, I don't think, it's called Food Studio and Spice Shop.
Mm.
But they make their own spices. They literally make their own blends, and so they've got some very interesting things that they use, and they have several grilling barbecue classes that they teach.
And they're here in town.
Yeah, they are. They're over in Oak, Colorado City in an adorable little house.
Over there. Yeah. Okay. So you guys, like I said, you were the one that introduced me to the Everdure products, that 4K.
Yep.
Do you or your husband have a favorite that it is kind of his go-to when he cooks on
when he grills?
Well,
we absolutely love to do burgers and chicken. Now, he smokes also. He's got a little cook shack smoker.
Oh, yeah.
And so often he will start maybe a chicken smoking and then finish it in the grill.
Very popular, yep.
And, but for sure hamburgers, that sounds so mundane, but you just cannot beat a charcoal grilled hamburger, I don't think. I just think they're perfect.
Yeah.
The other thing that's really wonderful in charcoal is a potato that you wrap in foil and stick down in the coals, and it gets that that char on it. Oh my gosh, it's so good.
It's making us hungry.
I know. We're going to have to go. We've got to go find a barbecue shack after this.
Yeah, one thing I want to say real quickly is I want to really compliment Teresa on how she is so helpful to small businesses here in El Paso County. I mean, I know that at the time, my ex-business partner and I, you were absolutely awesome in support of our store. It's the reason we were able to grow. I'm actually just released a little while ago at the time of this airing. That I'm looking at a south location now, so the business will be growing here.
Oh, excellent!
In the next few months.
Right. So, that's wonderful.
But I know you've worked with several of my friends that are small business owners that are linked with food, and they've all said the same thing: how awesome it is that you're so supportive of small foodie businesses.
Well, I think it's very, very important to support the community, and particularly mom and pop shops that they struggle. Oh my word. And in this particular environment currently, people are having restaurateurs having so much trouble getting employees. They might have 15 people send in their resume and no one shows up for the interview.
Yes.
And if they start, I just was talking with Jeff Richard at Crave Real Burgers. And
I did a table talk with him.
And they're just trying like crazy to start a franchise option for their burger place. And getting employees is impossible. He thought he had a spot located, and it didn't work out. And he said, I'm really kind of glad because I don't think I could staff it. So anyway, I know that that's hard. So any little help I can throw out, you know, a little crumbs here and there.
Well, on behalf of myself as well as all my other friends, thank you. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. So happy to do it.
I know very much about that. I had a good friend of mine who owned a little, I'm going to call it a bistro over on the west side, 3.14 Sweet and Savory Pie.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
She's since sold it, has new ownership. But
no kidding.
That was very frustrating for her as a small restaurant here, and that keeping people and hiring people is very tough.
Right. Yeah. Well, are they maintaining that concept?
They are. She sold her recipes. I was a little surprised by that, but she sold her recipes and all the branding. Mm-hmm. So the new owners took it over. I don't even think it's been a month.
Yeah.
I still follow them. All of the business model seems the same. So it was a neat little eclectic place that they had over there on off of Centennial.
This is it's a little bit related, but my next coming up story is it's for 4th of July, and it's going to be these crazy milkshake combinations
that
you see at burgers, and in particular adult version ones.
Yes.
But it reminds me of the Herb pot pies and savory pie or sweet pies were always so unique and different.
Yeah.
I think she probably, didn't she do something that was kind of smoked or a filling of some sort, one of her pies?
Yeah, she did. She did some, in fact, we she and I collaborated a little on that. She did some, like, pulled pork.
Yeah.
That she offered, smoked, putting a little smokiness into some of her meat pies or savory pies, I guess.
Yes, right.
She called it, but. You know, and I was, it reminds me how blessed I and Colorado Barbecue Outfitters were last year because, you know, when that all hit, all of us small business owners, I mean, I don't know about everyone else, but I sat back and thought, am I still in business?
Mm-hmm.
Once I found out from the state, I learned that I was essential because outdoor cooking fuels and I'm considered a specialty grocer. I didn't even know after 8 years of being in business, didn't know that.
Yeah.
And then I sat there at the store and I thought, you know, how's this going to work? Everybody's in lockdown. You know, at the time we were in a lockdown. Well, what I've since learned, and once you think about it, it makes sense, but you don't think about it at the time, is my business exploded last year because everybody was home cooking.
Isn't that great?
Yeah. I mean, it was just now don't get me wrong, you know, I felt there were a lot of business, unfortunately, that didn't, and, you know, but talk about being blessed. It just, I mean, it was crazy how much my business spiked.
It's a silver lining for you.
It's not something you ever think about. But Colorado Barbecue Outfitters we have survived the Waldo Canyon fire, the Black Forest fire, and now a global pandemic, you know? And I thought, well,
I know.
You know, I don't want to be cocky and say, bring it on, world. But we've done very well. And our customer base is absolutely awesome. You know, the people... You came to one of my classes. Those classes, by the way, have expanded so much.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I've gotten.
I need to come again.
Yeah, I have several specialty classes now.
Okay.
We've broken it down based off customer requests. A jerky class, how to smoke your own sausage class. I do a pizza class, how to cook pizza in a pizza oven.
Ooh, that's delicious.
That's sort of the new. I don't even know if I want to call it a fad because it's really taken off. Just like the. Himalayan salt blocks you talked about earlier that I'm guilty of thinking that was a fad, but that is still really taken off. A lot of people enjoy it.
There's a chef here. Now, you can cook on that salt block, or you can freeze on the salt block. You can put it in the freezer. She was doing a little cooking contest, and there she had her little salt block, and it was all frozen, and she made the most amazing ice cream. If you can think about the salt and savory aspect, sweet, salt, savory. Oh, it was
sounds
incredible.
Awesome. Yeah.
Have you gone to that place where it's called rolled ice cream, and it is a Thai type of invention. They do it in a lot of Asian countries, but it's a big, flat, I'm going to call it a griddle, but it's extremely cold. They make up their ice cream and spread it out real thin, thinner than a crepe.
I think I've seen this. I haven't experienced it, but I've seen it.
Then they roll it. They have this, like a putty paddle.
Yeah.
It's shove it, and it makes like a cigar roll, kind of perfect little roll. Then they stand them up in a cup, and you can put all kinds of fruit.
Oh,
and, it's really unique. And there's one, well, you know where your first store was? It's in that shopping center.
Yes. I was just going to say, I wondered if that was it.
That's it. And I've forgotten the name of it now. But, that's super unique, and it's just fun to watch. Kids love it, of course. Yeah. And the flavors, they're, you know, unique tropical kinds of fruit flavors that are
That's it. For
yummy.
Those of you wondering, that's at York and Academy, and that's where the store was located for about the first 4 years of business, and then we outgrew it and are currently at our current location at Vickers and Academy. What I'm going to put you a little on the spot, okay?
And okay, if you don't go try. It, you
what,
can try.
What regional one? What regional barbecue have you tried, and do you have a favorite? And do you know what I mean by the regional? The Carolina,
Oh gosh, I don't know. I love Texas barbecue, and as a matter of fact, Crave Real Burgers—they've just brought back their Texas burger, which I've just had on my mind like crazy.
Sounds
it's
great.
Got fried jalapenos on it, but they use mesquite, of course, which I think that has a very unique flavor.
Yes.
I've been so impressed. You would like this guy too. Mike, again, I can't think of his last name. I've got the Rolodex going. But anyway, he owns Gold Tooth Annie's, which is in Fountain Security, Whitefield.
Okay.
I don't know why you have to say all of those towns, but apparently you do. Anyway, he just got a little smoker he's got out in the parking lot. It's not little. It's pretty big, honestly. And he's got it's a stick wood, and he uses oak. And it's a little milder, but he does, the brisket. And he has just recently started chicken. That's amazing, too. And he makes his own sauce, but honest to God, you don't need anything on it. When he brings it off that smoker, he's just got the seasoning down. It's real simple. It's nice, but you would love talking to him.
I thought I knew all of the barbecue options in El Paso County.
No.
And just when I think I do, there's another food truck or something that comes around, you know.
I like Bird Dog. Barbecue, you know, that's Oklahoma style.
Yeah.
There's a guy out, let me see, it's called Slinger's Saloon.
Yes.
And Smokehouse.
Do you know him? He comes and buys his wood to smoke with from me.
Okay.
So I know him very well,
He's got a white barbecue sauce I'd never seen before. I'm not crazy about it, but it's interesting.
Usually that's in Alabama. Mm-hmm. That's a thing from, I think Bob Gibson really made that popular, but that Alabama white sauce is used on poultry quite a bit.
Yeah, maybe I should try it again. What I go for there is the burnt ends. Holy
I love some burnt ends. Yeah.
Oh, he really knows how to do that. Oh, gosh, it's like meat candy.
Yeah.
It's delicious.
That's exactly what I call it. Well, Teresa, listen, thank you so much for coming on the show. Like I said.
Are we running out of time? We are. My gosh.
Yeah, I know. It went quick, didn't it?
Yeah.
Thank you again. This was just absolutely awesome for me, to have you on the show and return the favor of inviting. And
well, thank you
really
so much for thinking
on
of
Table
me.
Talk
I appreciate
all those
it.
Years. So once again, folks, Teresa writes articles about all things food in the Gazette, in the Go Entertainment.
Yeah, it's a special pull-out section.
Yes,
and
check that out. I'm assuming, obviously, not only is it old school paper, but it's digital.
It can be online, too. As a matter of fact, that's where most of our readership is headed.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
So there's a certain demographic that really wants to have that newspaper, and I'm one of them. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Well, again, Teresa, thank you so much for coming.
You're most
coming
welcome.
On the show. Everyone, you've been listening to the Easy Does It Barbecue Radio Show. This is Dan McDonald. I'm the owner and operator of Colorado Barbecue Outfitters at 5921 North Academy Boulevard. Once again, the website is 719bbq.com. Check us out. Stop in anytime. We can answer all of your questions about barbecuing and grilling. Happy 4th of July.
Thanks for listening to Easy Does It Barbecue, brought to you by Colorado Barbecue Outfitters, specializing in pellet grills, charcoal grills, electric smokers, sauces, rubs, and barbecue accessories, online at 719bbq.com. See you next Saturday at 1 for Easy Does It Barbecue, and listen to the podcast on Podbean.